like that. But check us out. I think you'll have some fun with us on that day, which is tomorrow. The next slide is just a thing I need to tell you about is the nursing home love that takes place this coming Wednesday at 6:45. We have tons of gifts for the residents there that we were able to acquire. And so it's at Wednesday at 6:45. You want to make sure that you pick up a flyer. They're found on the outside of our foyer tables, because we're not going to begin here. We're going to begin there. They go to sleep a little bit earlier at the nursing home there. And so if you show up here, you know, no one's going to be here. We'll come back here afterwards and just thank God for everything that's taking place. But you want to make sure that you go there on Sunday, on Wednesday. Is that good for everybody? Yes? Amen. Amen. Don't call me at 6:30 and all that, because I'm going to tell you, look on MapQuest or your Waze app and find it. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you how to find it. I'm not going to answer the phone. Amen. Show up there, get a flyer, and show up there and be a blessing. Last year, some of our girls did a spontaneous, like, dance or something. They came together. We'll just see what God does this time. Is that good? Yes? Amen. So we bless the people. Finally, on December 23rd is our Sunday for Christmas that we're celebrating two services. We're doing an upside-down giving, which we're doing a legacy offering, which will take place every year. And what we're calling God's people to do is to give something above and beyond their tithe on that Sunday, that we'll disperse it out, we'll give it back. We won't keep it here within Living Faith, because we could actually use it. God's house, there's always a need here. But we want to do something that would bless someone else in the state of Texas, someone else in the world that's doing the work of God, and even in our city and doing the work of God, and sow it that Sunday. Would you prayfully consider about what God will do through you with your finances on that day as we leave a legacy on the earth? Is that good? Yes, amen?
Amen.
Well, thank God the offering, the announcements are over. Welcome, first-time guests. Let's go ahead and give them a big, big hand. Amen. Thank God that you're here Sunday morning. Let's welcome the Facebook Live audience. They've joined us. Come on, give them a hand. Amen. They're a blessing to join us. Again, if you are ever in San Antonio, or you're visiting, or you're looking for a new church because you're newly saved, you were a sinner, and you're looking for a church, this can be your church. If you're already at a church, I pray that you plug in, that you support your pastor, that you support, you come alongside of them and the leadership, and do all that you can to make that church a success. We're looking for sinners at Living Faith Church like we once were. Amen. We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and go. Amen. Do you have your message notes handy? If you don't, you're going to need them. If you don't, raise your hand. Hi, hi, hi. There you are. You'll get them on this side, that side. The story of The Greatest Showman is loosely based on P.T. Barnum, who in 1876 established Ringling Brothers. It became Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus. Many of you went as children. Do you know it was shut down last year for good? Yeah, because no one was going, and it wasn't, you know, now there's some circuses still around, but the original is gone. It was born out of the imagination of P.T. Barnum, that he could take some people that people didn't really think were first-rate people, that were oddballs, and he could make them something that the world would come see and applaud. And he was such a visionary, and it even changed the face of show business. He invented show business, so to speak, today. Now, when I saw the movie a few years ago in the movie theater, my family, we wanted to go. We heard about it. And I'm not really into musicals. I'll just be real upfront. I like stuff that's good, even if it's live at the Majestic. Maybe once a year we get to go and we enjoy that. I get to get dragged along to a lot of stuff. And so La La Land, when it showed, everybody, my family, we all went, both kids were in town, and so when we went to La La Land, I mean, that was the best $10 nap I ever took. I didn't get into it, they got into it, you know, even Andrew was into it, I just thought, you know, but when this one, it was different, because the music is incredible. It just makes you toe tap, right? Even in church, yes, you should toe tap, right, everybody? Why was it so successful? See, the first week it got launched, here's what happened. It wasn't number one. It didn't skyrocket to number one. It was like the second. But the second week after the word of mouth spread around, it just skyrocketed it and just became this major motion picture that everybody was trying to see. Because of the, you know what made this movie successful about a circus? The music, the songs are incredible. You can put them on your playlist. You can exercise to them. You can work out to them, right, everybody? And so Jesus, what we learned about his life was Jesus would have used probably movies, but he didn't have that technology, even though he knew everything. Jesus used parables and he used stories. So Jesus told this incredible story one time that really identifies us. How many know Hollywood doesn't invent anything? I mean, they really don't. They take stories and they remanufacture, and there were stories of redemption like this one was. Well, Jesus told this story about redeeming people that was totally opposite, and he had people on the edge of their seats. And in Luke chapter 14 on the big screen, because you don't have it in your notes, here you go, here you go. Luke 14, 16, 22. Are you there with me? On the screen, yes, it is. Jesus replied with this story. He was telling a movie. He was telling us a movie at that time, a parable. And a man prepared a great feast, so he's a kingly man. And he sent out many kingly invitations. And when the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But they were all making excuses. One said, "I just bought a field. I must inspect it. Please excuse me." The other one, 19, says this, "And I just bought 5 pair of oxen, and I must try them out. Please excuse me." Right? The verse 20. And another one said, "I just got married." And he didn't say, "Please excuse me." He just said, "I can't come." How many know he was busy? Give me a good amen. Honeymooners here. Verse 21 says this. The servant returned and told his master what they had said. And the master was furious. And he said, "Now go into the streets, into the alleyways, the towns, and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." You see the greatest showman in that, don't you? Yeah. And God is the greatest. He's the real showman. And after the servants had done this, he reported, "There's still more room." And so the master said, "Go and find in the country lanes, behind the hedges, and urge everyone that you find to come, so my house will be." See, outcasts need to be convinced that they're welcomed and they're compelled by love. Amen. Aren't you glad when you came to Living Faith Church, somebody like Gloria Martinez greeted you with a smile and loved you, and somebody like Sophie Cochran embraced you and loved you, and then now you're that lover. You come out of your seat and you love people, and you're compelling people, amen? Because you can only kind of sit so long and receive it. You got to get this out, amen? That's what you're called to do, right? The greatest showman, he created a church for those on the sidelines, the people that weren't popular, those on the fringes. All their shame could be brought out into a safe place, and it could be, I struggle, you struggle, we struggle together, but let's go ahead and lift up the name of Jesus, because in that we'll get healing today. I thank God that, amen, how you serve the sideline as a Christian is really how you serve the Savior, how you serve Jesus, how you're serving the people that are a little bit odd, how you're serving people that aren't lovable. That's serving Jesus, because he said it, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. That's Jesus talking. The real greatest showman is God Almighty, because he hoists you up. He said, "Look at my trophy. Look at my son and daughter. Amen. What they're doing for me, right, everybody?" And he applied. You're his masterpiece, and he wants to show you off today. He wants to leave you as a trophy. Amen. The Bible's filled with people that were gifted by God, that had a special deploy in them to let them shine. And God uses people in a different way. See, the world looks at using maybe, well, it has to be this way. God uses it differently, and he looks different than what the world does. It doesn't look like a reality show. The Bible says we're his workmanship to do good things, to do good deeds, right, everybody? From heaven, amen. You're God's creation, his apex. When he created you, he broke the mold. No one else is like you. But you know what else? No one else is like your neighbor. Boy, I'm telling you, he kept me up all last night playing that music. No one else is like those people, because Jesus died for those people too, like he died for you. God loves people. He made people that we should love. He made people in his own image. Everyone is made in God's image today. Amen. You can open your Bible to Psalm 139, or it'll be on the big screen. It's the only scripture that you may not have. See, I know I felt like an outcast at one time, that I didn't fit in. I was on the B team. I've told you my story, the C-minus story that I have, amen. P.T. Barnum's circus was the platform that he'd never done. And he says, "I'm going to invent it where outcasts can be welcome, where the outcast can shine." And isn't that what the church should be doing? Amen. Taking regular people and making it extraordinary today. Barnum convinced a bearded lady to sing. Where could that be done? He convinced a short man to be a general. He convinced a fat man to be even fatter. He convinced an African American at that moment in time in history to do an acrobatic show that the world would stare at today. I know that there are previously undeemed people that are unlovable, but God comes around and he says, now you're lovable because people will applaud you one day because I'm applauding you today. Amen. And it's a portrait of all of us. It reminds me again how God brought each and every one of us that are believers in this room, that were saved by the grace of God, how he brought us in and he redeemed us by his grace today, because he deserves all the honor and glory. Amen. Amen. Why don't you even turn towards your neighbor and say, you look like a circus freak today. Yeah. Oh, you had too much fun on that one. Amen. Hey, your second choice, you can turn toward the second choice and say, you look better than you did last week. Amen. You can tell them that. Amen. That might be more friendly. You look better than you did last week, baby. Amen. Oh, thank you. Amen. I got mine. You can get yours. Amen. It reminds me of God, how he would bring us to a table in the wilderness. Amen. And he would say, hey, be seated. You're part of my family now. Where you're not really maybe welcomed in the other circles, but at God's table, come on, pull up a chair, because you're part of the family today. I'm going to give you four incredible points that are found in the movie, but previously they're found in God's Word, which is biblical today. And the first one is this. Somebody say this with me. Every one of us is special. P.T. Barnum used odd people, and he gave them respect and dignity. And all the people in this room are made in the image of God. And all the people on the outside are made in the image of God. Your neighbors are made in the image of God. The high school students are made in the image of God. The people that are those people that live on the other side of the tracks, they're made in the image of God. There's really only one human race. Did you know that? See, all of us have color. Look at yours. I mean, I'm a color, you're a color, we're all people of color. It's not their color, there's only one human race because we're all colored in this room. Do you understand that today? We all bleed the same blood, right? We're red in that sense today. And thank God, we're to treat people like Christ treated people, Christ-like. And I can get into the argument with you, well, they're not acting respectable, that's why I'm going to treat them with respect. Well, you know what you can do with a person that's not acting respectable? You can pray for them. Yeah, because everyone is special in this room today, including the outside and the four walls. People are special. In Exodus, there was a special baby named Moses. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, it says this, the Message Bible. And a man from the family of Levi, which was a priestly tribe, the believers at that time, the people that had communion with God and made a way, married a Levite woman. She was a church girl. Isn't that good? Yeah, you find your girls in church, right? Everybody, you single people in this room. And the woman became pregnant. How did that happen? I don't know, but let me continue, right? And they had a son. And when she saw Mama Moses saw, she saw something special about him. And every child in this room that is born of Christian parents, that has one mama, one grandma at least, or a believing parent, they're a child of believing parents. There's a special favor on that child. You mothers and fathers that are raising your children, your son's grown or your daughter's grown and there's problems right now. If you're believing right now, God has a special favor on their life. God's going to turn that thing around if you're hoping for something to happen. I believe with you. There's hope right now in the air. It's tangible. There's faith in the air. That son is turning around in the name of Jesus because you're a believing parent right now. And it says that she hid him. And she hid him for 3 months. And I can imagine baby Moses was getting bigger and bigger. And he was hungrier and hungrier, and she just couldn't keep him quiet anymore. And she had to because they were out to murder the Hebrew children. And when she saw she couldn't hide him any longer, she got a little basket, a boat made of papyrus, and waterproofed it with pitch and tar. Can't mamas just make something out of bacon? Amen. Give me a good amen. Amen. A parent can just cook something up out of nothing and make it taste good, right? Give me a good amen. Amen. And so she placed the child in it. And she set it afloat along the reeds of the edge of the Nile. See, God's thoughts for you are more than the grains of sand. That's how you're the apple of his eye. You're the apex of his creation. When he said, I can't create anything much higher. And man would even say of this, of himself in the Psalms, he said, you created me a little bit higher than the angels, and we're the chief creation of God. God broke the mold, man, when he made you, right? Nobody else is like you. Thank God for it. In Psalms 139, on the big screen, it says this, for you created my innermost being. God touched you on the inside. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. Somebody say, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully. Yeah, that's how God makes you. I am fearfully made. I am wonderfully made. You're not a piece of junk. You're not something of a mess. No, God says you're fearfully made. You're wonderfully made. Amen. Confess that over your life. Your works are wonderful, and I know them too well. We're still discovering what God will do in our lives. Right, everybody? Amen. God made you, and he knows you. And you'll never know yourself until you know God. That's a big truth, amen? You're going to search, and you won't know yourself until you know God. See, he wrote the owner's manual on you, page 52. The blinking light won't go out, amen? What happened? I got to find out there's a blinking light in my eardrum, amen? Why is it not? Well, God wrote you. He wrote the owner's manual. He can fix you. He can fix your health. He can fix your spirit. He can fix your soul today, right, everybody? Amen. There's a hiring scene on The Greatest Showman that I'm going to show you right now that Alex is going to actually show you today. And it's a beautiful scene because he knocks on Tom Thumb's door, his mother's door. And she's so ashamed of him. You'll see it that I don't even have a son. And he goes, no, look. Watch the scene with me.
You must be Gertrude Stratton. I'm looking for your son.
I don't have a son.
The hospital record says you do. Charles, right? Age 22?
Charles!
P.T. Barnum, at your service. I am putting together a show, and I need a star.
You want people to laugh at me?
Well, they're laughing anyway, kid, so might as well get paid. I see a soldier, no, a general, riding across the stage with a sword and a gun and the most beautiful uniform ever made. People will come from all over the world, and when they see him, they won't laugh. They'll salute.
How's it looking, girls?
Hey, you looking for freaks? I know where you can find one of them.
Really?
Come on, girls.
Hello. Sir, you shouldn't be here.
I'm sorry. Who's doing this singing? It's you, isn't it?
Sir, I have to ask you to leave.
You are so talented, blessed. Extraordinary. Unique. I would even say beautiful.
Sir, please leave me alone.
Understand, but they will.
Oh,
Okay, Ann and W.D. Wheeler. Brother and sister?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Terrific. And what do you do?
Trapeze.
Trapeze? Okay.
You know, people aren't going to like it if you put us on the stage.
Oh, I'm counting on it. This is over your
entire body.
Terrific. I don't need to see it. Ask how heavy you are. Do you have a number for that?
I prefer not to say,
just between you and me. 500 pounds. 750 pounds.
750 pounds.
What is your name?
Vasily Pavlov, sir.
Yeah, we're gonna change that name. I think you're Irish. We have a show.
You're an original. There's no one else like you. Yeah. Amen. Have you ever Googled yourself? It's kind of fun. When I found Google, of course, like many of you, search engines, great. And I Googled, I put my name in there, and there's this one guy that's always in there. He's the very first guy that comes up, and he's from Milan, Italy. His name's Mario Nava. He's like a business finance guy, and he has like curly red hair. And I try to see, maybe I look like a little bit like him, or, you know, but I don't. Maybe the nose is a little bit, but you know, he's the number one guy, that named Mario Nava. I'm about to change that. No, I'm not. But he's the number one guy, and there's even with the photos, images, there's so many images of him. And I know probably I'm the only one that's ever done that in this room, that searched yourself. Yeah, the one guy's with me, amen. And you're probably that. No, I need to move on before I get in trouble here. See, there, and then I keep going, and I keep looking for Mario Nava, see if I'm going to come up. And I see all these pictures of these guys that have done mugshots. Guys that have done something bad, they're Mario Navas also, and they're before me. Finally, I get to myself because I'm on Twitter, and then it's my Twitter photo, so it's up there because I'm with my wife. And then I keep going, and there's this one with the Living Faith Church staff, and it's the staff picture that we have on our website. So they say that there's somebody that looks like you in the world. Have you heard that? And they may be in other places, in other lands probably. Where would your twin be? But you know, even if I found somebody that looked just like you, there would be something different about them. The spirit, your essence, your personality would be different. It wouldn't be the same. They would be different in that sense today. And so when God made you, he made an original. And he says, God even said, I like my creation. I like what I've done today. The real greatest showman, God Almighty, brags about you. There's my favorite son. There's my favorite daughter. God has many sons. I don't know how he makes the favorite, but he makes you feel like you're his favorite. The screensaver, that phone, is a picture of you if you had a phone, right? It'd be you, of your accomplishments, of you, and what you've done today. Amen. Every one of us is special today. The second thought that's biblical about the greatest showman is this. God has created you to do something that only you can do. God places dreams within your heart. From the beginning of the story, we see on film, you see this little boy that had great dreams, and he grew up to be a great man, and it's P.T. Barnum, and he says, I dream a dream of just doing something great. That's the reason his wife loves him. It's a love story also, and it drives him so desperately to succeed today. Living Faith, the people of Living Faith, we have a great dream to do church the way, not that it's been done before, because there's some stuff that's going to be done before, but to reach people like we've never reached before, to be a church that reaches people like it never reached before. There's ways of doing stuff, but we're going to need new pursuits to reach a new people today, and God's about that right now, amen? I want to pursue God's heart so much that I know his heart towards people that aren't like me today, that aren't like you today, that look a little bit differently. How about you? Would we dare to ask God, help us today that your desires are fulfilled in my life. Your desires are fulfilled in my life today to reach people. And God would say, I believe back to us, this is who I made you to be to accomplish those things in your life today. In Psalms 139, it continues, verse 15, it says, my framework was not hidden from you. And when I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, my eyes saw my unformed body. And God knew you before you were born, before you were just whatever, a thought in your daddy's eye. All the days ordained for me were written in the book before one of them came to be. And I speak that over your life today, especially our mature people today, especially those that are using Grecian formula like me today, amen. All your days are ordained by God. Even before God, you saw them and you walked out today in those things that you're calling. You were in diapers. God saw every day numbered. We just need to get with what God wants to do. What's his program for our life today? What should we do today? God is a redemptive God. God loves people. And God meets people at their own level. That's why heaven came to earth. Jesus' Christmas story. Jesus came to earth today to identify with man today. The woman that was caught in adultery was full of shame. The story about her life is pretty incredible, how Jesus stooped down to meet her eyeball to eyeball. A shameful woman, a woman caught in adultery, a woman that was probably, the Bible doesn't say it, but they caught her in adultery, the religious people, and threw her in front of Christ and said, they say we have to stone her to death. What do you say to catch Jesus? They were always trying to catch Jesus. And so there's probably a naked woman in the middle of the town square, and Jesus is meeting her eyeball to eyeball, and Jesus takes away her shame. And he tells her this, he said this to her in the Bible, it says this, because he identified her eyeball to eyeball. He said, John chapter 8, verse 10, and Jesus straightened up. Now he's looking at her, and he's saying, and he asked the woman, woman, where are they? All the people, they dropped their rocks one by one. Remember that? Jesus wrote on the ground the story. Has no one condemned you? And she says powerfully, no one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you. Do you know people don't need to be condemned? Sinners know they're wrong. People know they're doing wrong. And Jesus declared, now go and leave your life of sin. There's change that needs to take place now. They say this woman was Mary Magdalene, the one that stood by Jesus the most. Where could she go now? She had committed adultery. There was grounds for divorce now. She was shamed like that in front of everybody. The only person that accepted her was Jesus. How about if we accept people? Amen. Same way, the loving way. A dad talked to me about his daughter now working. And he told me the story, and he said that recently happened. He said, you know, my daughter was working, and working pretty late. They were about to close. And these men came in that were just probably high, and they were talking loud. They were cursing, and they were demanding food without paying for it. And the young daughter of this man, she recognized this man that had been to our church and that had come here. He doesn't come here right now, not yet. And she saw how high he was and how that wasn't him, the way he was behaving in church and how he was under the influence. And that brave girl was saying, you know what, I need to be brave enough that he sees me and recognize, maybe that will take that the influence that he's under and shake him and let him know that God loves him. And he was doing what he was doing, ranting and raving, and they were all ranting. Three of them were wanting, demanding food and that sort of thing. And she finally, after he'd done it for a few moments, she locked eyes with him. And they locked eyes. And he says, you go to that church. You're in that church. And he began to blame God for his problems, of course. But that shook that man. And it was a witness that God is everywhere. See, sinners are going to sin. Sinners are going to sin. Do you understand that today? And they need somebody to intersect them at a workplace, not by accident, because that was a divine appointment. Just like you were a divine appointment for somebody that is going through hell, that everything is breaking loose in their life because they're not following Jesus. Do you understand that today? And when you're in their eyesight, would you remind them that God loves them just with your eyes, amen? With some sort of handshake, maybe with saying God loves you, he has a plan for you. That's what that young girl did today, amen? And that's what we're all at. There are no accidents in the kingdom of heaven today. There's a thrill that we get to condemn people, and that's a religious spirit. But Jesus gives us a thrill to forgive people, to save people, to love people, and redeem them. Amen? Let's be that sort of church, people. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. You're a church of my dreams today, not of my screams. Amen? I don't scream about this church. I dream with you today. Three is this. We are most alive when we do what we're created to do. I want you to take your cue from the one that made you. Action. Action. Take two. Action. I messed up on that one. Can I do the line again? Yes, you can. The real showman would say God Almighty said action. And you walk, you take your, see, many of us want to take our cue action and we're doing all the action. We're the ones taking our own cue in life. Or we're letting somebody else in a relationship, or we're on cue with somebody else, and God's saying, would you let me take over your life? Because I have a better way. I want you to be in my movie. I want you to be in what I'm doing, but you got to take the cue from me. Wait on me, the Lord would say, right, everybody? True life and real life really isn't found in you. It's found by you expressing yourself with the glory of God, for the glory of God. And when you do it for him, you're taking your cue action. And there you go. You're doing it for the glory of God. Right, everybody? Amen. We've been doing it too long the other way. Amen. Let's do it the right way. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. Because if it was, you could brag about it. Let me prove it to you. It is a gift from God, not by... So no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship. That's his poem. God's poem is written, love letter. The mess is made into a masterpiece. Who was a mess before Jesus found you? Amen? Amen. Created in Christ Jesus to do bad works. No, good works. Yeah, they're good works that you're doing, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. There's something that you were prepared to do that no one else can do. You're supposed to sing that song. You're supposed to talk the way you're supposed to talk. You're supposed to teach the way you're supposed to teach. No one else is supposed to do it but you. No one else can do it quite like you. See, there's evidence that you're walking with God when you do the good works. Would there be enough evidence if you were convicted in a court for being a Christian? Yeah, I saw him go to church every Sunday, Your Honor. I saw him carry his Bible to church, and they gave a lot of money because it was called this tithe thing, and God, it looked like you owned them. Yeah, I'm convicted. You can, yeah, I serve the Lord. Yeah, I'm convicted. I'm going to jail for Jesus, right? Or is there enough evidence on your life because they see you doing what you're doing, and there's no evidence because you're not doing good deeds. You're not doing good works, right, everybody? We need to act like the Word of God has changed our lives. See, there's, what if you keep hearing messages? I hear a message every Sunday morning, but then it doesn't change you. God is after transformation in our lives. All of us in this room, including yours, we hear the message and we do it. We transform because of it, right, everybody? Because they're prepared for us in advance. Amen? I think you missed the cue, but we're good. Amen. You got so anointed, amen, that we forgot about it. Amen. But why don't you watch this scene about just how God rises people and he changes them and he does something that's significant. Amen. The last movie clip that I'll show you, so stay awake. Amen. You'll enjoy this one. Where it's covered in all the color lights, where the runaways are running.
This is for you.
What will you be doing?
Watching my girls grow up. The show must go on.
Come.
P.T. Barnum made significant changes in his life so he could come back to what really mattered the most. Where does living faith have to make the significant change so we can do what really matters most? Where do you need to make that significant change so you can do what really matters most today? We adjust ourselves to reach people. We'll get into that in a moment a little bit deeper, but as we finish up. But there's the story of the redemption of Christ, and they were able to shout that message, and it went worldwide because of a message that began in just a simple museum that birthed a worldwide movement. There are more children in this zip code than any other zip code, 78227. And so I'm challenging this church in the coming year that we would make significant changes in our children's ministry and equip it, because there's more children to reach. And we should be a children's magnet to our community and what we do and our resources and what we do in our buildings and what we do in our programs, so we're serving the children of this community along with their parents. And if we do that, we're touching what God wants to touch today. And I don't need to tell you why we're next to a high school. Because we're supposed to reach that high school for Christ. The news media that did what they did with the fight years ago, or now 2 years ago now, then you all saw it, and it went viral. I mean, I saw it, you saw it. Do you know where I was when that was taking place? I was in my car by the dumpster, because there was all these other cars in the parking lot, and I saw the fight right before me. And of course, I called the police because of the violence happening. But you know what God's spoken to me? God put us on the gates, right at the gates of hell, to reach somebody that can't be reached, that nobody wants to be, because we're fearful, and we don't need to be fearful. We walk in God's provision and His hand upon us. Now, we're not going to be foolish, but we are going to be people of faith. And God put something right next to us, a mission field, that we're going to answer to God for, every one of us in this room, members, leaders, including myself. I'll probably be the first, but you're going to be with me because you're staying with me. You hang with me. You're going to look like me. We're going to answer to God if we don't reach it at high school. It's just plain and simple. There's no one else is showing up. The Navy SEALs done come and went. They couldn't rescue anybody. We're the Navy SEALs. We need to go in and rescue a generation. And so it needs to look differently. We need to do church differently so we can reach young people for Christ. Amen, and I hope you get that before we get too old in this room to do it, right, everybody? Or the next generation will die off and they'll take over. Four is this. This is why we need to tell the creation, which is everybody, the story of your redemption, that you were wild, that you were crazy, that you were messed up, and you were having fights like they do. Thank God it wasn't on Facebook either, right, everybody? Or some of it was. Thank God for your testimony, right, everybody? The museum that P.T. Barnum had, in the story, it burns down. People of the community burn it down. And so they had to leave the four walls, and they had to have a tent on some cheap land. And you know what happened then? They broke barriers. It exploded. And how many times have we said we leave the four walls of this church? We've been preaching that since the very beginning when we were in my house 20 years ago. We're still preaching it today. And you know what? I see people saying, hey, leave the four walls, do the four walls, leave the wall. You know who invented that? Nava? No. Jesus, because he said, go into all the world. His final words to all of us in this room were, go. And you got to be a goer if you're a Christian. You're not supposed to be a stayer. Give me a good amen. We leave the four walls of this church and we reach out to people, because that's what Christ told us to do. We are brought into the community of faith, and God called us the circus. He called us the church, not the circus, right, everybody? And we call it because we're a community of love and acceptance today. We have a chance to do church the way God told us to do it and how He intended us to do it. The kingdom of God is never about prestige. It's never about selling tickets. It's about loving people generously. It's about loving and accepting people that would come in. Everybody that would come through the doors, they're like Jesus, right? Jesus said, if you did it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so when we see a people that walk in and they're a little bit different than us, we still love them because that's Jesus in disguise, right, everybody? That's why I love the saying of Christ. He said, wherever two or three are gathered, there I am in the... I'm right there where they're... See, church doesn't need to be the big thing. It needs to be you with somebody else. You with two or three people. There, Linda and Leonard Ziegler, that's amening the loudest right now. So I'm going to pick on her, amen, and that's a good thing to do. When they do the clothing closet with their team of people, do you know what ends up happening? Yeah, people come in and get clothing, and they get free clothing, but there's always a time when they do it on that Saturday in the outreach that there's usually a gathering of two or three people. She'll gather with a person that's hurting. Leonard will gather with a man that's hurting. Edna will pray with somebody that's lost. It's two or three people. On Fridays, every Friday, there's an outreach into the adult community, the adult daycare center. And Estella leads that, along with Sophie and Gloria. And they lead that, and they go in for an hour from about 10 to 11, I believe, right? Or 11 to 12? 10 to 11. They walk in, and they love people. Now, there's about 30 or 25 people that sing the songs that they have on the boombox. A Bible study's given. But you know what else happens? That usually somebody's hurting. Somebody's crying. And Jesus is right there. Two or three are found. Right there. They're found. That's where church happens. They meet the need right there. That's why God sent them right there. They'll give you more information about that if you want. See Estella. She's always looking for people to help her. And thank God if you're able to do that during the day. Go. This is what Jesus is there in that church, at the adult daycare. It's a small group there, and it's a serving group. Jerry Kiefer and I were here a few weeks ago, and some stuff had happened. How many of those sinners are going to sin? And so some sinners messed up the pipes, and water was going everywhere, and Link came and fixed it along with Jerry. Well, we make it a police report because they're on film. Give me a good amen. We have cameras everywhere. But while I'm here, I always walk around the perimeter of the building. I always do that, you know, because you never know what the devil's up to, right? Sinners are going to sin. And I walk around, I'm walking around this outside wall, I'm walking right here, and all of a sudden, in this back wall, there's this girl gang. These girls look tough, amen, and I was one guy. And all of a sudden, I start smelling something that I hadn't smelled since the 1970s. It was a cloud. It wasn't a glory cloud. It was a cannabis cloud. And I say, hey, ladies, because I don't start anything. There are more of them than me. I go, hey, ladies, the police are coming. Because they really were. We were going to meet them with the footage that we had and all that stuff. I said, the police are coming, and you're not allowed to be back here doing what you're doing. And I kind of looked at them, and I said, so you might want to leave. And they before they said, thank you, sir, I did this. I went, and I felt different. No. And they said, sir, thank you. And they walked away. And what if the testimony one day is that one of those girls comes back to this church, which could probably happen, which is God does crazy stuff like that, doesn't he, to mess us up? What if he does something like that? I said, you know what? There was a man that, you know, was back here. I don't know who he was, but he smelled the pot that we were smoking, and we were doing wrong. We shouldn't have been doing that. But, you know, they didn't yell at us, so to speak. They just warned us that the police were coming. Sinners are going to sin. We get messy. It's where we're at. If we stay within these four walls and keep ingrowing and keep ingrowing, you know what happens to ingrowth? It's an ingrown toenail, and it hurts. It's painful. You're sore. You get touchy. It's Christians that are touchy. No. You get all sore, nasty, and ugly. But if you outreach, you reach and you tell, and then you grow in God. Amen today? Yeah. We love an elementary school down the street because when we mentor people, we mentor students that are in the fourth grade, the fifth grade, or third grade, or whatever they might be during that time. You know what? Jesus is right. Wherever two or three are gathered, mentoring back and forth, we're right there. Jesus is right there at that cafeteria. Jesus is right there in the library today. One time, they told Jesus, these Pharisees, these religious people, they said this. He said, you know, why does your master, your rabbi, hang out with such scum? And Jesus said, you know what? Do healthy people need doctors? No, they don't. He says, I've come, and he said this. He says, I've come, in Matthew 9, he says, I've come to call those that aren't righteous. I've called to call sinners. I've called sinners. That's who I've come for, people that are in sin, to help people. Here's a challenge I have for you. It's called the Bearded Woman Challenge. Kind of go like that, right? Who would you rather be in church with, in a relationship with right now? A bearded woman or Miss America? Who would you rather be? You're early, but I love you. Amen. You're good. Amen. That's good. Just come on up. Amen. You're early, but I love you. Amen. Stop trying to change the church. Start doing what Jesus challenged the church that it would become today. Right, everybody? Yes. Barnum, when he started the circus, he experienced freedom and grace upon all the people that he welcomed into his community, the community of circus that he had today. Remember when you walked into salvation, when you walked into the church at Living Faith, how you were greeted and how you were loved and how people love you, amen? Why don't we create that for other people that are waiting to come through the doors, that we welcome them, that we love them, and we reach out to them in such or some way. The Bible says that we serve the Lord with gladness, not with sadness. So we come to the house of God and we're full of life. We're not here to cause drama. We're here to love people. Sunday is fun day. It's the best day of the week, right? So you should be ready for Sunday. I can't wait till on Thursday. You ought to be thinking, I can't wait till Sunday. I can't wait to get there. It shouldn't be that I'm barely making it on Sunday morning. It should be, I can't wait. Camp out at the door, right? On Sunday morning, right, everybody? The dream team, they're beautiful people in Living Faith Church. They get everything ready for us. They work behind the scenes. There are people that do countless hours that will never probably be applauded, but they do so much for the Lord for us in this room today. And God told me to tell you, just to remind you, I wrote this down because God told me to encourage you. Nothing that you do for me, our Living Faith, which you're doing it unto me, is insignificant. Nothing that you do for me or this house is insignificant. It's very significant. That's why we worship one and serve one. And I'm calling you back today again to remind you of what you should be about, that you should be about the church's success, not within really what we do on Sunday mornings, but what we do on the outside of the walls. And so you worship one and you serve one, even within Sunday morning context. And you do all it takes to make it successful so we outreach and do the wonderful things that God's called us to do as a people today. If you're interested in that, I'll meet you at the welcome table. I'll meet you there and I'll say, hey, where can I deploy you? What can you do? I'm ready to go to work. I'll personally do that with you if Sherry's not there today. Amen. The people of the circus came together and they became people of redemption today. Thessalonians says this. It says, the word has gotten around. Your lives are echoing in the Master's word, not only in the providences, but all over the place. And the news of your faith in God is out, right? Wouldn't you like to be outed by Jesus, right? You'll get that later, amen. When we don't even have anything else anymore, you're the message. In other words, Paul said, I gave them everything, but you just keep preaching through your lives. People come up and they tell us how you received us with open arms, how you deserted those dead idols of your old life. You leave that behind and you go, you can embrace and serve God because you can't hold on to the world and hold on to God or people if you're still serving the old God that you used to serve today, the true God. I'm unashamed of Jesus. And you announce to the world, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. You don't have to be belligerent or be a jerk about it, but you need to stand up at your workplace. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I'll pray for you. Yeah, when is the last time that you prayed for somebody? No, you're in church. That's easy. Everybody loves you. When is the last time that your light shone so brightly that you prayed for somebody at the store, at your workplace, in public? Just like that young girl let the light of Jesus shine through her at her workplace. It was hostile. The police were about to be called. And she stood up for the Lord. She made sure that that sinner that was living in sin saw the way he was living. And it was a testimony to him. Never forget the handshake. Never forget the embrace that we can give people in love today on the outside of the four walls. People are waiting for your hug today on the outside of these walls, a hand held in prayer today. That's why there's nothing better than the TrueLife.org cards. Here's a commercial again. You take a couple of these cards with you today, and you hand them out to people, and you invite them. I was at Walmart. I was in the self-scanning line, the kind that you can get through because you only have a couple of items. And I was having trouble. My thing wouldn't scan. She came up and helped me. And I said, you know what? You were so nice to me. This is an invitation to my church. Would you come be my guest? And then on the back of it is called TrueLife.org. You can go to it, and you can find answers to life's hard questions. And she said, thank you so much. I've never had anybody. Would you take at least two or three of these with you on the way out? Now, here, real quick, I'm going to give you something to do. Who will do this right now with me? You'll go back into your high school. You'll go back into your workplace. You'll go back into your neighborhood. You'll go back into your family, and you'll personally invite them with this card. Take two. Would you invite at least one person this week? I want to see your hand if you'll take a card and you'll do that with me, because I'm going to do it and I don't want to be a liar. I'm going to do that. I don't want to lie in church. I'm going to do that. I never asked you to do anything I wouldn't do. I'm going to hand one card out. I'm going to personally invite, if not more, but I'm going to hand one card out. Who's going to be with me this week? I want to see your hands. I want to see your hands. I want to see your hands. I want to say, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, the rest of you that didn't raise your hands, may 1,000 camel flies infest your armpits. Amen. I'm just saying, infest them. Infest. Get them, Jesus. Get them. Amen. I know you feel relief right now. Amen. Give me a good amen. I'm glad he got off that, because I don't like witnessing. I'm a Christian. Wow. Really? Okay, good. I can neither confirm or deny that I wept during this movie, because I'm not going to tell you that. Amen. My man card would be taken away. But I was very inspired by the movie, because it showed me how dreams can be fulfilled and how lost people can be found again, and they can dream again, just like I once was. I was lost, and I didn't have dreams, and God gave me dreams, and he can do the same on the outside of the four walls. Tell somebody your redemption story this week. Invite them to church. Let's bow and pray today. Amen. Father, thank you for your love today. Thank you for the heart that you have towards this church. Thank you, Father. I pray that people will pursue you wholeheartedly. And Father, even if they're doing it by themselves within their family, they're pursuing you. Father, I pray that we would develop a consistent prayer life in this church. We would develop a consistent devotional time in our word, so we become strong, so we can give it to a world that's hurting. I pray, Lord, that those aren't that are part of this house that aren't serving yet, that they would take up just the baton and they would run, Lord. There's a song to be sung by somebody that's hearing me that can't be sung unless you sing it. There's a class to be taught that can't be taught unless you teach it. There's leadership that needs to be given that can't happen unless you lead it. And so, Father, I thank you for the choices now that we're making in your presence to do your will right now. Thank you, Father. We call back the people of God to have passion in their heart. The idea that you've given them, Lord Jesus, the thing that would revolutionize this church with the idea that they have, Lord, let it be deployed amongst our people today. Thank you, Father. Every one of us is special. I thank you for that, Lord. Even on the outside of the walls, Lord, there are so many special people. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. The people of God are most alive when they do what they were created to do in this room. Thank you, Father. Bless the people of the Lord. You're in this place. I always wanted to give you an opportunity for redemption. And you're far away from God. There's this thing called selfishness, and you just need to own up to it if you've never received Christ, or you've walked away from him, or you're far away. You want to do stuff on your own, and you want to do it your way, and you're doing it your way, but you're not going to be satisfied, and you know that. That's why you're in this house. As much as that nudge is happening right now, you want to just, it's uncomfortable. It's just God gently dealing with you again. And he said, surrender your life to me so you can have life abundant. Surrender it. Let me take over your life today. If that's you in this room and you want to come close to God, you want to receive Christ as your Savior, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to see that your hand is lifted slightly. You lift it right where you're at. I'll see the hand and I'll pray with you right where you're at. God bless you. Yes, my sister. Somebody else just lifting your hand. You can put it down once you put it up. Someone else just making sure. Just making sure. Yes. I'm thankful for one person, because that one person I know meant it. She's my sister in Christ. See the thing about being a Christian, it happens long before the altar call. But we're going to do the formality right now. We're going to pray the prayer. The sinners that are saved by grace, we pray this prayer together. My sister that lifted your hand, you pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear like we're going to do right now. Let's pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, you died for my sins that I might be new, that I could have a new heart, a new way of behaving, that I could do good things. And thank you, Lord. May all my dreams come true. And thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Touch the people of the Lord. Touch them, God. Make them your vessels, Lord, your trophies of grace. Lift them up, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Now, lift your hands just a little bit above your lap right now, just a little bit, like you're receiving the gift of God, and we're receiving this right now. Now, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord give you a special favor upon your life today. May the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And thank you for the peace of God that fills our hearts this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Amen. For that one person.